Welcome back to the Fightcasters, the Las Vegas Suns fighting MMA show. I'm Ian Samuelson, joined as always by Brett Okamoto. How you doing, Brett?
Doing good. Doing good. Just got done watching the fourth episode of The Ultimate Fighter. Actually, we were watching it on the big screen here at work. And
let's get right into it. The first three episodes, a lot of excitement. Obviously, Kimbo's, you know, what's going to happen with Kimbo? What's going to happen with Kimbo? He finally fights. This weekend, what are your thoughts? Kind of a letdown, in my opinion.
Well, I just think that you can't call it a letdown because this season just came with these special perks that we haven't seen before, with the rivalry already embedded with the two coaches, and then, of course, Kimbo. I mean, this wasn't a bad episode as far as regular Ultimate Fighter standards.
I mean, compared to everything else, it didn't have the same storylines. Obviously, it was just
a little
boring.
But I think, like, the real true Ultimate Fighter fans who've been watching this show for a while, they're going to – I mean, it almost was – at the same time, while I agree with you, it wasn't as heart pounding, exciting, you know, as some of the other episodes that had Kimbo involved a little more. But I like the fact that they kind of got away from Kimbo. You know, I mean, this isn't the Kimbo Slice show. This is the Ultimate Fighter. You know, and some of these guys, I mean, there's a good chance that two or three of these fighters are going to go on and have careers in the UFC, and so you want to get to meet them as well. You know, I mean, look at a guy like Marcus Jones, Roy Nelson, those kind of types of people. If they do well and they're successful and they move on, you're going to want to come back and watch the show and not just have it be all about Kimbo. You're going to want to see what those guys were like.
Let's look at Marcus Jones. What was going on there? Sweating profusely.
That was weird, man.
Real weird.
That was weird. I don't think I've ever seen. And then there was really no explanation of it. They're just like, oh, well, I guess he's not used to the training. Well, peace. And then they all just kind of moved on. Does he need to get that checked out? Or I thought that was weird. But then the next segment, he's hurting people as a sparring partner. So I don't know really what the show is trying to show us about Marcus Jones. At first, we're trying to see that he's maybe not ready for the challenge, and then he's hurting people. I don't know what to make of Marcus Jones right now.
Giant man who likes flowers is my that's my opinion so far.
Yeah, and then there was that, of course.
Different episodes of this week's fight, Brendan Schaub versus D'Amico Rodgers, another former NFL player. Rodgers was really, you know, kind of taking control of the match early on, and then got caught in that dangerous anaconda hold, and that was it.
Hey, and that anaconda hold, we've been putting one of those by Wanderlei Silva, remember? I mean, Wanderlei Silva taught us at a media combine or, you know, convention, the very most simple jiu-jitsu and, that, you know, holds, and that was one of them. I mean, that's one that you don't really see a lot of people get caught in the UFC, and it just shows that some of these heavyweights are a bit rough around the edges. And it was a good win for Schaub because he was definitely losing up until that point.
And another win for Team Evans. Is Rampage's team ever going to win?
I mean, when you're watching reality television, you always have to wonder, like, they're only showing you bits and pieces, but it's clear that they're showing the team Rampage is kind of in shambles right now. They don't even go up to Rodgers after he loses. He's just sitting there in the middle of the octagon. But right before the fight, you know, Brendan's working out with the boxing coach, and Team Rampage is sitting around looking like they're going to cook s'mores or something. I mean, it's like, I don't know if that's the television aspect, like where they're trying to like show that these are like, this is what's happening, or if that's actually what's happening. But right now, Team Rampage looks bad.
Well, the tagline for next week, shocking loss. And they have a Rashad grimacing. So it'll be interesting to tune in for that one.
What are you talking about?
They said next week, the tagline, shocking loss, and they had Rashad's face, and it looked like his fighter just lost. So
I missed that part. Huh? Well, maybe. I don't know. If I had to make a pick right now, I wouldn't bet against Team Rashad in any one of these
fights. I want to see Jones fight. I want to see what he's got.
Yeah, I think right now Jones is probably the biggest pull out of anybody. I think out of all the fighters, he's the one that people are wondering, is this guy for real or what?
And speaking of tough, about an alum and quite the character himself, Junie Browning, again runs into trouble here in Las Vegas. I guess he overdosed last night, according to media reports. And, you know, they tried to help him. He took 16 Klonopin, which are, I guess, anti-anxiety pills. But when he's in the hospital, he was, you know, he wanted to leave. He wanted to leave over his own power. They were trying to calm him, sedate him, and it looks like he pushed a female nurse, punched another male nurse, and kicked another one, and cops had to be called and just told him he's gonna rape him. And just, I mean, what is up with this guy?
Well, if you watched the seventh season was the one he was eighth season of it. I mean, the guy was a loose cannon, threw a glass at Shane Prim in the middle of one of the episodes when Shane really hadn't said anything.
Yeah.
And I guess...
Got the second chance from Dana.
Has gotten a really great opportunity to come out here and work with Extreme Couture.
Another second chance even after he lost in his debut in the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of changed his life, but then you see this.
You're talking about a guy who's received every opportunity to succeed when maybe he shouldn't have been taking a chance on. And now it'll be interesting to see how many lives does this guy have, because on one hand, you know, we were over there. I've talked to Junie for a story that we did a few months ago. I've talked to Sean Tompkins. He was actually living with Sean Tompkins, who is a main trainer over there. He's been a head trainer for Randy Couture. He's actually living in his apartment, you know, for the first year when he came out here to Las Vegas. And then he moved into his own place. And this is really the first time that I've heard since that transition that Brownian has a story like this. And so it'll be funny because now, obviously, he's built relationships with those Extreme Couture guys. As far as I can tell, they like him. I mean, like I just said, Sean Tompkins let him live with him for a year. So it'll be interesting to see if now they finally, they're like, enough is enough. You know, that's your last straw. Or if because he's been working with him for a while that they give him another, which I don't even know what this is, fourth chance, you know, to get your act together. But I think at some point you got to kind of cut a guy loose. And like you said, he lost in his debut. I mean, I'm sure he has the potential to have a future in the UFC, but he's not a real top competitor as of this moment, and you just wonder how much longer he's got.
I saw him actually out at a club over the weekend. I don't know if he was drinking or not. I'm not going to speculate, but yeah, it's weird just seeing a guy and then seeing his name in the headlines a couple days later for this.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to keep an eye out and see. Well, next time we're at Extreme Couture, that'll have to be something that we ask him about, because the kid, when you get down to it, I think you want to say he's a good kid, right? I mean, you can't just throw it out there like, oh, he's a good kid, he's a good kid.
He's
troubled. But a lot of you, I mean, you see these types of UFC guys come through, and you've seen stories where they've gone on and had success and they've turned stuff around. So, you know, we'll follow it and we'll talk to Sean.
Are you going out War Machine? Another interesting tidbit today was Chad Johnson was in town. Well, he trains out here in Vegas, and he had his official WC weigh-in for his bout against Glenn Johnson a month from now. Weighed at 185. Glenn Johnson was at 181-something, and I don't think this is even going to be close. Obviously, a lot of people think that Johnson won that first one. Dawson's credited with the unanimous decision, but he looked pretty sharp from the brief sparring we saw. This is a light day. Here's a light day for Chad Dawson in his training camp. A long run up Mount Charleston, two sparring partners, and some speed bag work. Definitely, definitely not the lightest day.
Yeah, make sure you add your favorite quote from Eddie Mustafa today when he was working out.
You mean bringing it downstairs? Dawson was sparring with I can't remember which one it was, but he was hit some headshots, and Mustafa wanted to see him kind of work the belly.
Work the body, right?
Yeah, work the body, and he goes. Break out the break the
barbecue the ribs.
Yeah, barbecue the ribs. That was it. Oh, what a great line. I was just cracking up. Barbecue the ribs, he yelled out.
Those training partners are intense too. I watched Chad Dawson, you know, and this is I mean, I'm assuming it's fairly typical for a lot of these guys. I mean, it is typical for a lot of these guys too. You what you do is you bring in sparring partners, two or three of them, and they each go three rounds, so you're always facing a fresh competitor.
Yeah.
Dawson, man, I mean, obviously the guy's working hard. He barely looks like he breaks a sweat against these guys. And then these other guys are getting done with three rounds with him. They're coming off, putting their hands on their hips, and they're battered up because Dawson's kind of knocked him around a little bit. And then when he hits him, he kind of says, oh, I'm sorry. It's like the guy's not even trying, and he knocks you around. Chad Dawson is a really great fighter. And you were out there and talking to him, and you relayed some interesting news to me that he said he might only have three fights left.
Yeah, he has said, you know, he'd like to retire pretty early. He's got three young boys. He spends a lot of his camps out here in Vegas, so he's away from them. And he said if it was a perfect world, he could see himself fighting three more fights, put him at 30-0, and retiring before he's 30.
He needs that big fight, though.
Hey,
he's got to get those fights before he takes off.
You know, he wants to fight Hopkins. But Bernard is allegedly going to fight Roy Jones sometime early next year if Jones can win here in December. And then he said he's got to somehow provoke Joe Kazagi to come out of retirement.
Oh,
that's
man.
A big if. But, I mean, maybe he's the guy to do it. I personally, the fight I want to see, I would love to see Dawson and Paul Williams. Obviously, it'd have to be at a smaller weight, but I think that would be a great fight.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Williams is one of those guys that can jump around in weights. You know, he could cut down. Amazingly, he cuts down when he's still, how tall is he? 6 foot two,
three, I think.
6 foot three guy. He can cut down in weight and fight guys like Winky Wright, who are a good 6 inches shorter than him. Or he could put on some pounds and still look great against Chad Dawson. I think that would be a good fight. We'll see what happens. Both of those guys have had kind of a reputation of being avoided, you know, and not being able to land that big marquee matchup. So why not put them together?
That's what Dawson said in this one. You know, he didn't have to fight to take this fight for HBO. He wanted to prove that he was dominant with Glenn Johnson. And Dawson's not a guy with a ton of knockout power. He said, don't expect a knockout. He wants to put on another decisive decision and, you know, totally prove to the 40-year-old that, hey, I beat you the first time and I dominated you this time. I guess one last note, the quietest, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, I've ever seen Floyd Mayweather Sr. He was out there. I never heard him utter a word. I mean, he might have had a couple of side conversations, but it was kind of surreal to see the man and not action, I guess, not talking.
Yeah, yeah. But I could kind of see that maybe he's reached that point in his career where he realizes that he's got to be a fan of the sport, and he knows that this is Chad Dawson's show. It's not mine, and he didn't want to steal a spotlight from a guy. I know that Floyd respects Chad. Both Senior and Junior have had nothing but good things to say about Chad, so that's probably something to do with it.
And they're not, you know, we also asked what was his relationship with Junior. Dawson says, you know, they're acquaintances more than friends. They don't hang out a lot. Dawson's a pretty family-oriented guy.
Yeah.
You know, he might take in some MMA bouts or something like that when he's out here, but pretty kind of a homebody, I guess, and, you know, not as flashy as Floyd, obviously, but there's a tremendous level of mutual respect, both parts there.
Yeah, well, that fight will get November set off, November 7th.
November 7th, and then, his hometown of, you know, in Connecticut.
And then, geez, man, I mean, can you talk about a more busy fight month than November the 14th? You've got UFC 105 out in Manchester, England. You got Manny Pacquiao facing Miguel Cotto. And then 1 week later, we come back and we got 106. Shane Carwin facing Brock Lesnar. I know everyone's excited for that. So, geez, I mean.
And there's some news right there, too, that we almost forgot is Mark Coleman is officially off the 106 card. And Tito called him a sissy. Coleman's rep responded, and then Tito didn't, but his wife Jenna Jameson did. So just kind of a war of words going on there, just. Hey, if you're a fan of the sport, I guess you'd love the storylines.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they pull up to fill in for Coleman. I'm kind of drawing a blank. Off the top of my head, like you said, that kind of slipped our mind. I kind of even forgot that happened going on. But that's something we'll have to think about and stay tuned in. And because Tito is definitely ready to go at 106, he does not want to push it back. He doesn't want to fall off the card, and I don't believe he will be. I'm sure someone will step up and fight him. I can't think of who it would be right now.
I mean, you got Thiago Silva, but he just fought.
Stephen Bonner?
Yeah, Bonner could fill in, but he just lost to Coleman.
Right.
You know, Forrest would be a good fight, but I don't think he's training right now after just getting married. I mean, not ready to be that close, you know, less than a month out, or just a little over a month out. I don't think he would be, you know, that's a stacked division. It won't be too hard, but yeah, it'll be interesting. You got to get a big name in there.
Yeah, but before we can get to all that, we still got my boy Machida fighting at UFC 104 October 24th. So we got to look forward to that one before anything, and we'll talk about that one next week. We'll just talk about that one next week. You got to stay tuned for that one.
All right, LasVegasSun.com, Fightcasters, another week in the books. Another week in the books for Tough. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.